Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Buffalo to Chapel Hill, 1968 through 1969. During drops of nectar in Chapel Hill. During my stay in Chapel Hill, I received several instructive letters from Prabhupada. Here are some excerpts. Observing Gaur Purnima. Dear Bhurizan, please accept my blessings. Regarding Lord Chaitanya's birthday, it is March 4th, and you may celebrate it as elaborately as it is possible for you. Immediately, you should contact Brahmananda in New York and ask him to send you a few chapters of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which you will return afterwards. So on this day, you may read from these chapters. To celebrate, you should have a picture of Lord Chaitanya on the altar and decorated him with flowers very nicely. Chanting and lecturing may go on. In these lectures, you should explain very carefully Lord Chaitanya's teachings that we are eternal servants of Krishna, servitors of Krishna, and it is not that we ourselves are the Supreme Lord. You have a well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. My comment. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya had not yet been published. The simple Gaur Purnima ceremony, as recommended by Prabhupada, was complete and fully satisfying. Remaining Brahmachari. Dear Bhurizan, please accept my blessings. I am pleased to note that you have decided to remain as Brahmachari because it will be the most, quote, undiverting, end quote, for your Krishna consciousness. Actually, this is correct. If one is able to remain as Brahmachari, that is first class, because so much botheration of household life is immediately avoided. But Krishna consciousness is not limited that one must be a Brahmachari to execute, or one must be a sannyasi to execute. Spiritual means that there are no conditions whatever. So in any position one may be in, he can chant Hare Krishna, preach Krishna consciousness, and pray to Krishna to engage him more and more in his living service. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Comment. When I decided to remain Brahmachari, I was 22 years old. Prabhupada, however, as the expert and experienced teacher, somehow extracted a pure motive for my immature decision to remain undiverted in my Krishna consciousness. He also accurately understood that I was too young to make such a lifelong decision. Therefore, he encouraged me by explaining the benefits of Brahmachari life, but he also carefully explained that Krishna consciousness is fully transcendental and not limited by time, place, circumstance, or ashram. Questions about Jagannath mask and lotus feet. Dear Bhurizan, please accept my blessings regarding the Jagannath mask. It is not bona fide. The footprint of Krishna is all right. You can keep it by the throne, and while taking care of the deities, you also wash the foot, wipe it, and put it back. Generally, this is done with a little sandalwood pulp. There are markings on the chest and feet of the personality of Godhead. That is the distinction between him and ordinary living entities. Just like in our palms, there are certain marks for a particular person indicating his fame and fortune. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has got certain signs on his lotus feet, which are unique for him only, and they are not to be found in ordinary living entities. In Vaikuntha, all the inhabitants have exactly the same bodily features as Narayan, but Narayan is made distinct by the marks on his chest and lotus feet. The goddess of fortune recognizes her husband by these symptoms. That is the version of devotees. Sign your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. My comment. We had received the masks and the foot impression from a young American traveler who had recently returned from India. Prabhupada's discrimination was our only insurance to avoid mistakes while worshipping Krishna. An adventure at Woodstock. Tosant Krishna, Vrindavan Chandra, who had recently come to assist us, and I heard about Woodstock, the upcoming giant music festival, and we decided to attend and preach. We hitchhiked from North Carolina to New York City, and then on to Woodstock. We had no idea what to expect when we arrived. Tens of thousands of young, hip citizens of East Coast America had converged on Woodstock's barren farm fields. Although tickets were sold for the event, no one was prepared for the size of the turnout. The promoters gave up demanding payment or checking tickets. They were moved by the spirit of the 60s, and they opened the gates to all. Throngs of young men and women channeled through and became part of the quote happening. This was the event, and they were part of it. Countless gaily dressed hippie pilgrims milled around and danced, or sat absorbed in the intoxications of the moment and the music from the main stage. They had traveled on Kali's call to Woodstock. Their mood was accepting, so they accepted us with our shaved heads and Indian dress. We held kirtan in the evenings, and many joined in on the chanting. During the day, we handed out incense and peacock feathers and asked for donations. We also looked for opportunities to preach. One evening, I attempted to chant on the main stage by disguising myself as a follower of Swami Satchidananda, the bearded and trendy uptown New York Hatha Yoga guru. As he and his followers marched up the ramparts to the stage, I followed behind, waving my bundle of peacock feathers up and down, looking like the final member of their entourage. But my attempt was foiled at the last moment by a yoga student, and I was ordered off the stage. In parentheses. Years later, I met Swami Satchidananda in Hong Kong, and he showed a movie of his exploits in the West. The screen filled with a shot of the Swami and his students walking onto the Woodstock stage. Behind his head, I could clearly see my bundle of peacock feathers waving up and down. "Hey, that's me," I proudly told him. We were determined to chant Hare Krishna on stage. On the final evening, we were given permission to chant side stage at the hog farm. The weather was threatening, and it was already dark. The rock group's electric guitars were screaming heavy metallic blues. The lead singer called to the crowd, "You are moving the sun, you are moving the moon." The blues notes bent, the bass guitars thumped, the drums thundered, and the crowd went wild in the dimly lit cloud-covered night. Dancing with abandon, eyes turned upward, and with and without partners, the audience clapped and approved of the band's reminder that human beings are God. We were the next act. In that moment of demonic insanity, we walked on stage with kartals and our simple message, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We'd like all of you to chant with us. Our chant began, and a few from the audience joined in. Suddenly, we heard loud, antagonistic shells of, "Shut up! Stop chanting!" The fever of the protests increased, but we continued. "Shut up! Stop that chanting! Rock is our soul!" We heard and recognized the black leather jackets of a motorcycle group, a New York radical anarchist street gang. We recognized them as the leaders of the dissent. We kept chanting, and they stepped up their protests. We chanted faster. We saw gang members standing up and moving towards the stage. How can we stop chanting, I wondered. But how could we continue? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 of us, I think, chanting on stage, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. We sang into the microphone. Our eyes scanned the crowd in the darkness, and our ears weighed the sounds of responding chanters against the calls of angry protesters. Suddenly, just as the tension began to peak, the generator exploded and the power died. Darkness fell like a curtain over the stage. Our act was over. That night, a heavy rain fell, halving the Woodstock fever. The crowds were drenched and the festival began to wind down. We three tired, aspiring servants of Prabhupada, happy but sick from the damp, began our return journey to New York City late the following morning. Part of our gain from the weekend's preaching was a trunk full of small coins. When we arrived at our 61 Second Avenue temple in New York, we discovered that we had collected almost $600. ISKCON was poor in those days, and we were astounded by the size of our three-day collection. We decided to send part of the collection to Prabhupada. Our letter offering Prabhupada $200 was sincere, but not in touch with the actual worth of $200. He began with flowery pomp. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances and this donation of $200 for your book fund. Please use this money to publish the Nectar Devotion and thus save all the university students throughout the land. Prabhupada, as his reply shows, accepted the spirit of our donation and overlooked its amount. My dear Bharijana, Tosan Krishna, and Vrindavan Chandra Prabhupada's letter began. Please accept my blessings. I beg to thank you for your sending me the check of $200 for my book fund, and I think of it as a big contribution of $2 million. I've come to your country to carry out the wishes of my spiritual master, and you are kindly cooperating with me. Certainly, Krishna will be pleased to bless you with all spiritual benediction. I shall be glad to hear from you about your other progress in the matter of Sankirtan Party and selling BTGs. That is our main strength for preaching work. Thank you very much. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. My comment. If we had thought more carefully, we would have distributed Back to Godhead magazines at Woodstock rather than only incense and peacock feathers. Back to Godhead distribution was becoming the backbone of Prabhupada's preaching formula. Okay. Hare Krishna. We'll end here. Hare Krishna.